Here's a couple of paragraphs from a terrific book called Estates, An Intimate History by Lindsay Hanley. It's a book about the post-war council estates. Oxford's first motor car factories were built on its outer edges in the mid-1930s, drawing in migrants from the bigger cities of the Midlands, who would receive a decent and steady wage and who needed to be housed quickly and cheaply. In Cutterslow, a farming area 2 miles to the north of the town centre, a large piece of land was cleaved in two, one half taken by the council for its own housing, the other bought by the deceptively modern-sounding Urban Housing Company for building private homes on. When the adjoining municipal and private estates had been built, you would have been hard-pushed to tell the difference between the restrained brown terraces and semis. From the outside, it appeared to be an early exercise in mixed tenure occupation, where well-paid working-class men could coexist peacefully alongside middle managers and tradesmen. The private developer thought differently. Without recourse to planning permission, the law, or any motive beyond profit and the presumed snobbery of his prospective customers, he built two walls that isolated his own houses from the council ones. The walls crossed roads and gardens and had no break in them to allow passage of the council house tenants to local shops and bus stops. They were even capped with barbed wire to prevent members of the forbidden caste, encouraged to sabotage the developer's efforts by communist students enraged by this act of social apartheid, entering his land. What is extraordinary about the Cutterslow walls is that they stayed up for 25 years after their illegal erection in 1934, enduring a world war and the first 15 years of a welfare state that had been created to destroy pernicious class divisions once and for all. Despite their illegality, the walls seem to represent something else, the divisions that existed and continue to exist within a single class. Many of the buyers of the Urban Housing Company's semis were as working class as the renters who lived on the other side of the wall. Clerks or foremen they may have been, but their wages were barely higher. What mattered is that they thought they were better and were terrified of the calamities that might befall them if the wall were to be knocked down. They had scrimped and saved for a deposit, and they were damned if their postage-stamped gardens were going to be trampled by barefoot kids who wouldn't know a bar of soap if they slipped on one.